In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. We have our resident Shit Show mascot here with us today.
Christy. In the house.
Welcome. Welcome, mascot Christy. What song do you want played when you walk into a room?
Wigwam by Bob Dylan.
That's a solid pick.
Yeah. It's the I want my soul to mosey. And that it just is a mosey song.
Just wigwam in.
Just wigwam. Wigwam white in.
Wigwam white win. Okay, carb.
Probably bread.
What kind?
Like a really good sourdough or a really good, like what the one with the Kalamata olives in it that you just like tear off.
Tear apart, yeah.
And rip and dip and scoop butter, copious amounts of butter on.
Okay, cheese.
Oh, what's it's like a brie, but it has blue cheese in it. It's like a blue cheese brie. And it's so delicious. And it's like 98% fat.
Cambazola?
Yes. But I love blue cheese. Like my original love of cheese starts with blue cheese.
And condiment?
That one is interesting. I mean, I think I have to say chili, green chili. I mean, I'm in New Mexico. It would be hard to not just say green chili.
All right. So how did you learn that you were an adult child?
Okay. When I first started listening to your podcast, I was listening to this other podcast, and they're very nice, lovely people who just, and then your podcast would pop up, you know, like in the feed or whatever. And I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. So I started listening to yours. And I was like, oh yeah, this is where I need to stay. Like these people are my people. So yeah. So that was maybe like 2 years ago. And then I bought all of the literature, ACA literature or whatever. And there was the family tree in one of them where you kind of go back and, you know, kind of see what was going on in your parents' life. And I realized that when I was three, so there's four of us. When I was three, my younger sister was just born and my dad was diagnosed with cancer and my mom there. And so there were two old, so that she had four kids. She hadn't been working I think she took like 10 years off to raise us. And so she went back to get her master's while my dad was having cancer and she was having four kids. So I kind of feel like I just like have just kind of like a sense of like it was already tense. Like I was already like born into some shit, you know, like things were already happening. And so I have these just kind of very like not solid visions or rememberings or whatever, but I just remember spending a lot of time in waiting rooms, like playing with the weird toys at the doctor's office and doing highlights. Remember highlights? So from the work that I have done, that's when I kind of think that I knew on some level. But then when I was, let's see, like before the pandemic, I was having panic attacks and I was just really, it was just wild. Like I was, you know, and it kind of revolved around when my husband would come home from work, but I mean, just like heart pounding, like sweating, like pacing, just kind of really panicking. And I didn't quite know why. And so I got on Zoloft and Wellbutrin. And then the guy said, Well, he kind of was like, hey, blah, 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 what's your deal? And I told him, and he was like, yeah, you have CPTSD. Watch this video and I'll give you some Zoloft. And so that is was another indication. But yeah, that was, I think, the time when I was just like, fuck, like I have to get this together.
I'm curious, do you have more of an understanding as far as what was going on, like what was being triggered with these panic attacks and why it was when your dad or when your husband was getting home from work?
Well, I do. I believe the shit went down when people got home. Like growing up, it was just a very like anticipatory kind of like tense time between when you would get off school and when everybody would start coming home, because it was you just never knew what was gonna happen or what was gonna happen, who did what, like whatever. So yeah, I think it had to do with that. And then my husband, we've been married for 10 years, and we both have some, childhood stuff. But I'm basically like a dog when he gets home, and then he is like a cat. And so he wanted to be left alone for like an hour, and I would be like chasing him around the house with a plate of food, but we couldn't figure out what the problem was and how to talk about it. So that took a while. That took about 2 or 3 years for him to kind of be able to like articulate that. So when he came home, it would appear to me that he was mad at me and just all of these kind of things. And because I'm pretty codependent, I just could not fucking handle it. Like I couldn't handle it. So yep.
I'm curious, what did those conversations sound like when you actually were able to have that with him?
To be honest, most of the healing has come from me doing my own healing. He's not into any of this stuff. He's just a very kind of steady person in my life. But I started leaving him alone when he got home and like doing other things and just not feeling like I had to just kind of be like on call, for a very long portion of my life, I was always just like feeling that I just had to be around for somebody that was, having a problem. So I just started, taking the dogs out and not being there when he got home, did yoga, whatever. But like from the beginning, like we started, it's just so funny. Like we were like, let's meditate. So he would come home and I'd be like, all right, let me get my app. And then we would do like a 3 minute meditation and he would just be fucking sleeping, like full on asleep. And I would just be like, I don't know that this is going to be the thing that brings us together. But he gets up at 4, gets home at 7. My
Damn.
schedule is a school schedule. And I think that that had something to do with it as well, just because all of just being on the same like child's schedule for your whole life kind of does stir up a certain amount of just kind of memories of, your own experiences when you were a kid.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, before we talk about your childhood, prior to having those panic attacks, like, was there any sort of realization or awarenesses prior to that that you were being impacted by your childhood in adulthood?
I don't think so. Like I really don't think so. But I when you almost drop your phone and it's like slipping out of your hands like a wet fish. I have felt kind of that way my entire life, where it's and then you catch your phone and you're like, oh fuck yeah, I didn't drop it. But yeah, so no, I've always been a little, I guess you would say, dysregulated and a little all over the place.
And was that a tough pill for you to swallow?
What?
C coming to terms with that you had CPTSD and that your childhood fucked you up?
Oh, I was like, fucking hallelujah. I needed somewhere to start, Like, I have known for a very long time that our family is a little, we're fucked up, I guess. And so it was a relief. It was very emotional for me to tell my husband that I was taking medication. He grew up in a home of kind of like domineering mom giving children medication all the time when they weren't sick. And so he doesn't even take like ibuprofen or anything. But yeah, so no, I was very relieved. I was very happy. I think I was really listening to your podcast a lot. And I had a trauma therapist when I started having the panic attacks, but also it was COVID. And, you know, it was just really, really difficult.
Okay, so let's go back. So dad was sick, and was he getting treatment for a long time? Or what do you remember when it came to that?
So he had radiation, and that damaged his throat.
Did he have throat cancer?
Yeah, he had throat cancer. So he had big, like, burns, but it also killed his, like, throat muscles. And so when he would eat, he would only have, I'm kind of laughing about it just because it's so fucking bizarre, but he could only swallow once and it would have to go all the way down. And so eating at our house was tense, you know, and we were kind of the traditional family where you sit down to dinner and eat, and he would choke often, and you kind of really had to careful around him. So it did impact my whole entire life. And then he started having strokes when I was in my like early 20s. And they had to do some sort of surgery on his neck to kind of connect his artery or clean it out or whatever. But because that the muscles were already almost dead, it never healed. And so then for like 2 or 3 years, he just had this like gaping wound on the side of his neck, which also sucked. But he also had scoliosis, and one of his legs was like 3 inches shorter than the other. And he had polio when he was a kid. And
jeez.
Yeah. So he was kind of a hot mess to begin with. But then he also was an alcoholic, and I believe he's a malignant narcissist. Bada boom.
Just throw that on top of cherry on top.
Yeah, but the whole thing is just so weird though, because he was always the one, like he was the one that needed the most
attention,
care, attention and care. And so, you know, you feel like, oh, you get through this hurdle, and then you're like, holy shit, like you're the problem. Like you're hitting people, drinking too much and being hungover. Honestly, the alcohol never really felt like the biggest problem. Just his whole fucking deal was the bigger problem. So yeah, so that was mixed in there too. So he was probably an alcoholic as well.
What was the relationship like with between your parents?
So my mom was 10 years younger. They were both teachers. They met at school. Was 26 and afraid she was going to die an old maid. She was from just kind of like 20 minutes outside of the town that she was teaching in. And he's very charming, very, you know, just kind of, he was just kind of a big, charming, you know, person that everybody kind of wanted like attention from or whatever. So I don't know that it was control so much, but I think that my mom just kind of just like put herself into the program, you know? She's very childlike. So yeah, he just kind of just dominated everyone's existence. So he died when I was 23. So he just was a very large and looming presence. You know,
and then what were the dynamics like within, like with your siblings, like the relationships you had with each other, or like how did your parents treat you all differently? Like what did that look like?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So my older, by the time I came on the scene and I was like kind of, you know, aware of what was going on, my dad was probably already hitting my brother. And so my dad kept us kind of divide and conquer. Like we really didn't have relationships like directly with each other. Like my dad would tell us how other people are. Oh, and so Amy, or my sister and my brother were bad, and myself and my younger sister were good. And so that is kind of how it started. I had a very, my brother was, you know, angry. He was scary. He was Like he would just do weird shit. Like he'd like snap you with a towel and like make freaking whips and stuff and like whip you and tie you to trees and shit. And it wasn't great as far as my relationships with my siblings. I was deemed very early on to be daddy's girl, the apple of his eye, all this kind of stuff. And I do have a lot of kind of dark memories of, sitting on his lap before bedtime and my sister kind of walking through the kitchen and him just fucking glaring at her, just glaring at her. Like he there my sister and my dad had a very almost karmic, bigger than life dynamic. Like he hated her. He hated my older sister. And it always was just so I couldn't comprehend it.
And then what about your relationship with your mom growing up?
So it's funny too, just like do just talking or just being a part of this community and everything. Like I'm just kind of starting now to dig into like what the fuck was going on with my mom. But she, there are some scarring things that she has said and done to me, mostly about my appearance. She used to say that I was so ugly as a baby and she was so worried about me. But my dad always used to say, don't worry, she's going to be beautiful. And thinking, like, even saying it out loud, you're just like, what the fuck? Like, what? Like, why are you saying this to a kid? And then she also just made it really clear she wanted to have babies. And she, quote, gave us to our dad when we turned 9. Like, she just didn't want to really engage with us when we became older kids. So she was very, very loving, very, but for me, I think she was just fucking overwhelmed, like 4 kids, master's degree, she was, I think, just in some sort of state of functional freeze. I don't know. She was just very fearful, She didn't want us walking off the street. Like there were just, we lived across the street from horses, and she'd be like, don't go into the ditch. The horses will bite your hands off. And my dad kind of soothed, kind of took care of that fear, those fears for her, I guess. But yeah, so she was around. I didn't die.
Yeah, you didn't die. Yeah. All right, shit show ladies. Have you ever had those days where everything just feels so much damn harder than normal and you can't figure out why? I already know the answer to that question is yes. And boy, have I definitely had more than my fair share of those days and totally get just how frustrating this can be. But recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress, lack of sleep, a dysregulated nervous system. It could also be my hormones at play. And that is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Any shit show can do it. Just answer a few questions about what you've been going through and where you're at in life. After taking this quiz, you'll get personalized recommendations to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. So I took this hormone quiz myself. The quiz suggested that my body may be overloaded with estrogen, which is affecting me in all kinds of ways. And one of the recommendations that I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. Now, taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's also about investing in our healing journey. And so by taking this quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance, which will allow you to start making small, intentional changes to support you on this healing journey. Whether it's the Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. So if you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find out the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
I'm curious if you have had any, and maybe the answer is no, or there isn't any, but I'm curious if you've had any like insights or realizations about the impact of your dad on you from the perspective of like being the golden child, like in his eyes.
Can you say that one more time?
You know, a lot of the times we like think about the scapegoat, the impact of being scapegoated. And I'm just curious if you've realized any sort of particular like wounds or traumas from being deemed like daddy's little girl or like the golden child in his eyes.
Oh, for sure. The only words I can think of is survivor's guilt. For a long time in my teens and 20s, I was actively seeking ways to not harm myself, but be harmed. I was, you know, and I just really, my siblings kind of, I have felt, kind of teased me more, you know, my older sister, she would always try to get me in trouble. And, but it was scary being in trouble because you would get hit. And so it was, you know, it was like a high stakes kind of game. Yeah, it was not. And then also like thinking about, like, I always think if I ever write a book, I'm going to call it Sitting on the Monster's Lap, because it's like, I knew that he was fucking people up and I knew that it was wrong. But then I also, I don't know. I also, I mean, I guess I loved him and I, you know, I love my mom. I love my family, but it just was a really hard position to be in. And one that I probably wouldn't choose. It's probably one of the bigger kind of wounds that I'm still trying to sort out, I guess.
And how would you describe the dynamic, like with your family, since you've started healing?
You know, I just actually made a boundary with my mom and I feel really good about it. I'm not super sure kind of how it's going to roll out, but we talk shit about each other. That is how we relate as a family. Somebody always has to be out, you know, and forever it was Michael or my brother. And then it was my sister. So I just had this realization that my sister has a very different lifestyle than I do, than all of us do. She was the scapegoat, like 100%, but that doesn't mean that she doesn't deserve to be loved. Just because she likes, you know, fancy things and, you know, wants to have money or whatever doesn't mean that she, that there's something.
That she's
wrong.
A bad person. Yeah.
Yeah. That she's a bad person. So I told my mom that I don't want to talk about my sister anymore. I just think that it's because she, so we also do the, will you talk to so-and-so to see if they're mad at me? Or will you talk to, or will you kind of like, nothing is direct. So I kind of backed out of that. And, you know, I got a little bit of a, you know, like pissiness, but so far we've upheld the boundary. And
what did you say?
I just said, look, I said, I just said, if you want to talk to her, you can go ahead and call her, but I don't feel comfortable anymore, you know, talking about what I think that she feels or thinks, because I don't know. And so I, you know, would just prefer not to kind of engage in these kinds of conversations. Mm-hmm. And my mom took it, you know.
Of course.
So, because it just is reshuffling the
What's
kind of
the dynamic that I've always been there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. And so it's been good. I mean, honestly, the best part has been with my husband. Like the best part of this whole thing has been, or actually even the better part is that it's like, I'm finally kind of learning about myself and how to kind of connect to my life. Because when I first started this, the panic attacks as well, the years prior, I was just like, everything is great. Like my life is great. Like I have the job that I want. You know, I have a great husband. I, you know, we have great hobbies, great dogs, all this stuff. And I'm like, why can't I like feel anything? Mm-hmm. I just couldn't feel my life at all. And it was so kind of spooky, you know? And then even recently I've been finally able to kind of connect like somatically, like in my body, because all of these things too, you listen to all these podcasts and you read all these books and you can understand what they're saying, but for me, it just takes so long for it to kind of like trickle down into like being able to actually embody it. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't feel my hands touching for a very long time. And I just now can feel like my hands touching and my hand on my leg, and I can feel myself kind of trying to like soothing myself. And that has never, I have never really been able to do that.
Wow. Yeah, just that total disconnection from your body. Have any of your other siblings like embarked on any sort of healing?
So my sister, my older sister has been sober for 8 years. She's on her own trip for sure. And we are connected, I would say, more than ever, because we're kind of the only ones. My younger sister has 2 kids and she's married, and she kind of has like a high level, like corporate job. She is doing her healing work, but she's still kind of like in the program. But like, I call it like the family program, because, you know, my mom takes, helps her with the kids. And like, there's just still those dynamics kind of lingering, you know. And it's also weird too, being married or having significant others. Because so one thing my mom used to say when we were growing up is she always used to talk to my dad, and she would be freaked out because of how different we are. And she would be like, I don't know if this is the way it's supposed to be. Like, all of my kids are so totally different and blah, blah, blah. And my dad came from a family of 8. So he was just like, meh, you know, it'll be okay. But yeah, so I don't ever imagine there will be a time in which we will all get together and have a good time. You know, like that's not, I don't foresee that.
How was your mom impacted by your dad's death?
She is, I mean, well, so this is a thing too. I've talked to my mom about how terrible my dad was to my sister. And then she kind of goes into all of the terrible things that my sister did to her while she was drinking and whatnot. And she would just say she loved him. Like, she loved my dad, you know? And I don't know. She's just kind of like a keep on keeping on type of
lady. Did she ever get
like,
remarried?
No, no, no. She wants nothing to do with
men.
With men or anybody that isn't related to her. Like, a lot, I think a lot of my body stuff is from her, because like she was not particularly like cuddly, and it would be, you know, like she would be like, stop chewing so loud, stop breathing on me kind type, you know. And so yeah, it just she just is kind of, you know, watching the news and crocheting, I guess.
Do you know anything about her upbringing?
So yeah, actually, when I did that the book, I learned about her a little bit. And her parents they left Kansas during the Dust Bowl, and she was a baby. And so honestly, she was pretty isolated. She had one older brother, and they did not get along. And so I asked, did you ever, you know, talk to, you know, your aunts and uncles or what? Or your grandparents? And she said no, that people at that time didn't even really have phones. So she was just kind of extracted and pretty isolated, which makes me think that it was kind of the perfect dynamic for my dad. So my dad came from Chicago, and he grew up very, very poor. His dad was a barber, but his dad would stay in the city, and then the 8 kids and his mom were in, they lived above a butcher shop, and the butcher would give them bones to make soup with, and like, just kind of like, it just like Journey of Natty Gann type shit, you know, like one crate of your stuff and rats in your bed and, you know, blah, 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 all that stuff. So yeah. So I just think that dynamic of how isolated my mom was kind of really played into how kind of like controlling my dad could be, because she, you know, didn't really, I guess, I don't know. She didn't learn a whole lot about people, I guess. I don't know.
Did you want to talk about your relationship with alcohol?
So, sure. I am just starting the alcohol experiment, this Naked Mind. So I'm actually just focused on if you are cutting down drinking or trying to stop drinking, they call them data points. And so if you do drink, you have a data point and you track it and kind of like dig into it and see what was going on when you were drinking. And I'm just really listening to her podcasts and whatnot. But it's basically for people who nothing has happened negatively because of alcohol, but it's just time to change your relationship with it and stop drink and, slow down on the drinking and whatnot. And so I really have just had such a long life of thinking, poorly of myself and treating myself poorly that I just really like the ability to kind of practice compassion for myself and compassion for where I am in my journey. So I'm starting that and I feel good about it. Like it's good. I mean, sometimes I get on the, am I doing this just because I need to have a problem? Just like to
Well,
fix,
that's what
or
I
am I?
wanted to ask you is like, yeah, what is the motivation in wanting to do it?
So I had knee surgery and apparently I have arthritis in my knee, and that was kind of the gateway into me being like, oh yeah, I have a body and my knee hurts. But I've always been very into sports. I'm very just, athletically prone. And then when all this stuff started going down with like the panic attacks and whatever, I was starting to realize that my body was hurting, like not in a, I worked out and I feel good about myself, but I was pushing my body to the point where, I mean, I looked good, I had all my muscle, I was cut and whatever, but I just was doing it out of almost like hatred for myself. And so I decided I'm not going to do anything until I can love myself. And so here we are 3 years later, and I love myself, but I also can't fit into any of my clothes. And I just am like this is not the person that I am. I am not, a sedentary person. And so I'm trying to kind of get back into the fulfilling aspects of being a physical being. And alcohol just is not in alignment with that right now. And so that's really the main reason.
Does it play a big role in the relationship with your husband?
I mean, yes and no. Like, for example, we would drink Coors the Banquet and put propanol up, or, chop wood and have some beers after that, or whatever. And so it's just really like, I mean, and I started drinking and doing drugs when I was 14. So, I mean, I have a, I've got a lot of years in. And that's another reason I'm like, at some point, we should probably stop doing this. But yeah, so it is and it's not. I think the benefits that my husband and I are experiencing from me working on myself outweigh the kind of challenges of him drinking and me not drinking or whatever. Because like I literally don't give a shit what he does in the most loving and compassionate way. Because I have to figure, I'm really focused on getting myself back.
Have there been any shifts in the dynamic, like in a rocky kind of way, as a result of you doing healing?
With my husband or with not, I mean, not really. Like there were more rocky parts when I was in a freaking panic and thinking, I mean, I almost adopted my mom's kind of like vibe of like, I'm a child and you have to take care of me or whatever. And then added on to that, all of these activities that my husband and I do now, he introduced me to. And so, for example, fly fishing. So I'm fine. So, 10 years later, I'm at this point where I can go and do this on my own, but there, So I have like an internal struggle of just wanting to do things separately and wanting to kind of go out on my own and, you know, hike on my own, you know, even probably at some point hunt on my own. But oftentimes I find that once I express it to my husband, I'm the one that was making a bigger deal about it than it was. So yeah, I just really always have felt kind of not judged, but kind of. So my husband is, he was diagnosed with obsessive compulsive personality disorder. And so he just, and he grew up, you know, not, he grew up quite poor as well. And so he just, he has a pair of sunglasses that he's had for 20 years, you know, and I probably buy like three pairs of sunglasses a year.
How does his OCD show up?
He repeats himself a lot. He does not accept help very well. Things need to be clean. He has certain little quirks about like things in the sink, you know, whatever. But for me, I was just like, holy shit, I've never lived like this, where things are where they're supposed to be. And it's not just freaking chaos all the time. So I, at the beginning, was just fascinated by him. You know, I just was like, I couldn't believe that he just kind of like was as together as he was. So yeah, so I would say we had more problems before I started this, because I was, yeah. And I really just was like, I wanted his approval. And I wanted his, like, I was just like wicked codependent, like way down in there.
Did you have like a slew of like unhealthy relationships prior to him, or what was your track record like?
So I developed quite late, and I always had short hair. So I'm the only one in my family has curly hair. So my mom was like, I don't know what the fuck to do with this hair. And so she chopped it off. So everybody thought that I was a boy. So when I went to high school, my freshman year, I grew my hair out and I got boobs, and I started getting all this attention, and I was like, oh, fuck this. So I got my first boyfriend that I stayed with for 5 years. And we ended up moving to Seattle together. And so in a lot of ways, I was just hiding, you know, and I was just being super codependent. And so we broke up, and I went back home to take care of my dad when he was having strokes. And then my dad died. And then from then on, I was just sleeping with people. Mm-hmm. Like nothing, just, but I also kind of have a tendency, I think I was talking to my sister about this, but like I go in like hard, you know, like if we're friends, like you can poop in my bed and that will be totally fine, you know, like I go, which is kind of like, I'm trying to work on being a little bit more like discerning with people. But yeah, so I just never could. I never really landed anyone. I imagine people were like, whoa. Yeah. And so then when I met my husband, he just is so like whoop, that he just kind of blew past all of my fucking weirdness, you know? And he would just talk to me, and I would just be like, oh my God, somebody's talking to me. Mm-hmm. And it's not weird. And so, yeah, so he kind of bypassed the weirdness. Yeah, he's learning now.
Yeah. Well, he has his own breed.
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
Well, give me three things that you like about yourself.
I think that I am really introspective, and I really am wanting to know some truths, you know, about life and myself. I think that I'm funny, and I think I'm a good teacher.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Before I ask you hope or dream for the future, what has your experience been like being a part of the community?
I am so grateful. I mean, there's a part of me that feels like I want to be there, but I also don't want to kind of like take up space. And so I'm sure it's a learning process, but even just like talking to you now, it just makes me kind of slow down a little bit and realize that, you know, what I have to say and what other people have to say is really valuable. And I've learned so much from everybody in the community. And I really enjoy finding people who have had similar strange upbringings.
Similar strange, similar weirdos. Okay, hope for a dream for the future.
I really want to just really have a solid understanding of who I am before I'm dead.
It's a big task. Well, this has been wonderful, and I'm so glad that I now know if there's ever a bed that I need to poop in.
You, girl, you come over. What you holding on to? Just let it all go. What's making you slow now? Don't let